From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready here with you from the Clark Ford Studio. We don't think today is the news day that you're expecting this week. I think that's tomorrow or Wednesday, as Ole Miss will release its response to the NCAA notice of allegation. So again, don't think it's today, later in the week. So normal podcast today. Today joining us on the show, one Russell Johnson talking some recruiting. He's been in town since Friday, getting his first taste of Oxford and covering a lot of Ole Miss football camp. They had multiple camps Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even today and on through the week. However, most of the prospect camps over by this point. So we'll talk recruiting with Russell here soon on the show, about 20 minutes or so of that as well. And then Neil's 10 thoughts are up. We were contemplating what to do there, but with the NCAA thing, not today, with it still a little ways away, at least 24 hours or so. Maybe 48, I don't know. We'll see. Probably while Neil is in Chicago or on a plane to Chicago later in the week.
Almost certainly Thursday.
Well, you know, if you'd be nicer to people around here, they might not screw by just doing that on purpose, you know, on Thursday.
Hey, I'm not the one making excuses. You're the one that this week you're going to have to explain why Davidson can make it to the Super Regional. They don't have three scholarships.
They get lottery scholarships. Yeah. Their state helps them. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Got a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, did you stay up and watch all of Missouri and Missouri State and Arkansas last night? They finished around 3:45 this morning.
No, I did not. That is,
you all right?
To this moment, I mean, I don't care, but explain to me why you're still playing in the rain at 3 a.m.
Because Dave Van Horn said so.
But it's 3 a.m.
You got a game.
4 hours earlier, you could have said, hey, let's go to bed. Get up tomorrow and do this.
Well, it wasn't raining then.
Dude, what time did they start the game?
I don't know. 8, 9, something like that.
When did the rain come?
I don't know. I saw the 8th inning when the umpire was told them to pull the tarp. Van Horn raised Kane, and they decided not to pull the tarp because Van Horn raised Kane.
And played in a downpour at 3:30 a.m. So your championship, your season gets decided at 3:30 a.m. in a downpour.
But in Van Horn's defense, he had to pitch in that crap, so make them pitch in that crap.
It's not really about that. It's about at no point during the season do you play a game at 3:30 a.m. in the rain. So why do you play the most important game of your season at 3:30 a.m. in the rain where you could have waited till the next day? I don't understand it, honestly. It doesn't matter. I'm not upset about it. I just don't don't get it. No, I'm upset about the fact that people like you make all these excuses for Ole Miss not being able to make a damn Super Regional because of scholarships, because Davidson just made one with three. That's what I'm upset about. I'm upset at people like you being apologist when all Davidson needs is three scholarships. Three. Mike Bianco gets 11.7. That's like four more than Davidson has.
That's not quite four more.
Imagine what Davidson could do with 11.7 scholarships. They'd beat the Astros this weekend if they had 11.7 scholarships.
They'd make one Super Regional in their program history just like they're doing anyway.
No, they dominate. It's about efficiency. It's obviously about toughness. They teach them how to hit.
In Davidson.
They take batting practice there. They must not take it in Oxford.
Did you see their guy at the end had the big beard? Said he hates his beard, but he's been pitching so well with it, he's had to leave it.
Well, that's just smart.
That's science.
That is science. If you think you're pitching well because of your beard, you are pitching well because of your beard. And the answer to that is you don't cut your beard off until the season's over. No matter how much you hate it and how much it's driving you crazy, if that's why you think you're pitching well, then you're damn right that is why you are pitching well. You do not mess with science like that.
People understand me enough now where I don't even really get made fun of anymore. It's like on Friday morning, I sent some media people things like, hey, can I get a stat broadcast password from one of the media sites, please? And they just hand it over, don't really even acknowledge my weirdness. And then last night, I kept getting all these texts about the Warriors and the Cavs and stuff from a bunch of buddies. And I just wasn't responding. Like, hey, you alive? I'm like, yeah, I'm watching Davidson upset North Carolina. They said, of course you are. Just moved on with their day. That was it.
You've got a sickness.
That was cool, though. It was fun watching Davidson. I really wasn't watching college baseball. Well, I watched the Bases Loaded channel a little bit, but.
No, it's always Cinderella's fun. I mean, look at LSU. I mean, we have
slipper fits.
The slipper fits. Isn't it nice? Just such a nice fit down there in Baton Rouge.
They found a way. I mean, early March, they're not very good. No. Went to Houston and lost a couple times.
They did. It's truly really a remarkable story.
Documentary, that thing, yeah, really, yeah. Shouldn't they? Oh, man.
Redemption. The LSU 2016 baseball story.
17.
Whatever.
What else is remarkable? The Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Check them out. Lunch specials, $4.99 every single day. Ribs at night, wet or dry. They can pick them up on the way home. Call them ahead. They'll be waiting and wrapped up and ready to go for you. Also, pick up the Plenty Card, PLENTI.com for the Plenty Card, American Express, Hulu, Rite Aid, Nationwide. Plenty of other retailers that join in together with the Oxford Exxon, Credicle, and more to earn points and save you money. So check them out. Also, as I've been telling you about, they're the presenting sponsor of the You Gotta Believe football camp. That is at Jackson Academy, July 6th and 7th. You can find out more at ygbfootball.com. That's Dante Moncrief, Cody Corr, Evan Ingram, Quincy Adebojo, and others helping out with that event. So check that out online. Again, Jackson Academy, July 6th and 7th. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford and Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. He's in Chicago today, actually, going to see the Cubs and the Marlins. But I'm sure somebody there at Clark Ford will be happy to give you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Take that quote, and then you can shop it around. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for listeners of this podcast all over the South. From Missouri to the Mississippi coast, from Shreveport to Atlanta, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's nice and easy, right to the bottom line, no haggling. And right about the time that you finalize your deal, tell Corey, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. There's one up. It's Friday afternoon. Myself and Stephen Godfrey. If you've never listened to the Beer Garden, because it's not always about Ole Miss, you want to listen to this Beer Garden because it's mostly about Ole Miss. It's really good. Steven's kind of good at what he does. Anyway, tell Corey you heard about it on the podcast. $500 off the bottom line right there. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
No one else can see this because our closed captioning is broken at the moment. But so I have this bit of plumbing issue where a pipe has become separated from the bottom of the sink.
Yeah.
Is this a plumber situation or is this a Chase get under there and try to fix it situation at the top?
It's a plumber situation.
You think so?
Yeah.
The metal pipe just came completely separated from the bottom of the sink.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it would just pop back in.
No, it's not like an elbow that you could just screw back into place.
No, that
there was some plumber's putty or something that was applied to that appears to have broken off.
Yeah, I think I'd want that professionally reinstalled.
It was not the answer I was hoping for, Mr. McCready.
Well, I mean, you can go in there and give it a shot.
It's the just, old college try. It just happens.
It's just your house and flooding, not mine.
There's no water running to it. I mean, well, there was yesterday when I used that side of the sink and suddenly all hell broke loose.
I mean, I guess you could give it a go one time.
Well, I'm wondering how long it's been like that because that's the side I always keep like all the bottles and the sippy cups and crap in, this little Rubbermaid thing. So I really don't use it because I'll just shoot it over. And the other side has the garbage disposal in it, so it's not what I'm ever dealing with. And then suddenly yesterday, it's like Niagara Falls when you went to dump it in there and it just went straight down into the bottom and soaked all the cleaners and all the supplies and everything up under the sink.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
I bet that was fun.
Few words spoken.
Voices raised.
Few words spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dog trying to figure out what's going on in the middle of it.
Dog probably got eschewed.
Yeah, punched. Yeah. Kicked. Yeah. Something like that.
Get the hell out of here, Gumbo, son of a...
PETA wouldn't have appreciated those 8 seconds.
Probably not.
Gus is probably pretty hard to move out of the way.
Yeah, you have to tell him to move.
He'll move on voice command?
Yeah, reluctantly. And then if the oven's on, he wants to lay in front of the oven.
Heat.
I guess the heat, usually it means something's in there, so it probably smells good.
But you can't open the door with
him. You're like, Gus, got to move. I got to open the door. And he'll get up and move.
Does he kind of moan and growl at you?
No, he just...
What if you kind of just elbow him in the ribs a little bit?
He'd probably start crying. He's such a baby. He's the one that stands at the back door. And
he does do that. That's pretty good.
I always think maybe there's a snake out there or something. It's like, no, it's just him. Just needs his air conditioning.
All right, read 10 thoughts. You put a lot of NCAA stuff in that.
I couldn't think of anything else really to write. I mean, we're just waiting for this thing to happen.
You expect tomorrow, Wednesday? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'd guess in the next 48 hours.
Boosters' names redacted currently, but not forever, is the way we interpret that document.
Yeah, you know, I got that document on Saturday.
It's linked on the message board for anybody that hasn't seen it.
I was going to read it and then kind of come up with an explanation. And I was like, nah, screw it. Here's the whole thing. It's 9 pages. It's interesting reading. Mississippi Ethics Commission. They basically ruled in Steve Robertson's favor and said the name shouldn't really be redacted, but you can redact them and give those people an opportunity, John Doe, an opportunity.
To prove why their privacy is more important than public record, essentially.
Basically.
It's the very layman's terms for that.
What I was told was the odds of that long term are not good. Those names are going to come out.
And you're told by people that would absolutely know.
Yes.
Yeah. It is an interesting dynamic on both ways. And I mean, it's more just talking than anything else. It's not really, I mean, at this point, we haven't publicly said them. We jumped out at the players immediately, but we've been hesitant on boosters. And then once this ethics situation fully resolves itself, the boosters' names are going to be released, but the players aren't publicly by the document. That's what's so funny about it. Because the players are protected by some different laws.
And everyone knows who they are.
Of course.
And most people know who the boosters are.
Well, yeah, to this point, even the coaches haven't been named publicly.
Yet you can figure out. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Coach A is Coach A. And
I mean, we had the attorney for Barney Farrar on for a reason. Someone says, why don't you run those names? Well, I kind of wrote this in 10 thoughts. These are people with means, frankly. And what if this thing gets resolved where those allegations get thrown out and the names are never made public by the NCAA or the institution, and you're the one that puts it out and you get something somewhat wrong?
It's really the same reason that we talked on the first podcast on Thursday, as we did the two in a row, the one with Brayden as the guest, when we were discussing that if you're going to fight a penalty and you disassociate someone prior to that and then you win, you've really defamed his character by preemptively disassociating. It's just a fascinating topic.
Because I expect, and I don't know this at all, but I kind of have an expectation that, and you tell me if you do, that in this response, Ole Miss is going to at least temporarily disassociate from at least one booster.
Oh, I've been told that person has been told that.
That person's telling people that.
Yeah.
And he's not happy.
Well, no.
No.
Of course not.
So, I get why Robertson's, I understand his argument. As obsessive and insane as the argument is, I do understand it. And apparently so did the Mississippi Ethics Commission. Makes it no less obsessive, no less insane.
Well, it would have more credence if it didn't appear to be strictly because it involved Ole Miss, and he wouldn't give a damn if it was somebody else about the person's privacy.
I don't think he's this worked up about Texas. If this is Texas, this is yesterday for Scout wasn't a great look on Twitter. I'll just say that the back and forth was not the best look in the history of.
It's kind of like professional wrestling, though, isn't it? Aren't you just getting the clicks and the campaigns, and we're just waiting on the manager with the steel chair at this point.
But if you Yes, if you told me that it was scripted out like that and they were following the script, this is what wrestling would be like if it were real. I don't think this is click-based. I think this is school loyalty-based.
What was the manager's name for Jimmy Hart?
Yeah, Jimmy Hart.
The Mouth of the South or whatever his name
yeah.
was.
Who was the manager for the Rock and Roll Express? They had a manager. I'm going to find this. And then the Midnight Express was their big rival, and they had a manager.
Well, the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express.
Yeah, the Rock and Roll Express was Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson. And Jim Cornette was their manager. Remember Jim Cornette?
I do remember Jim Cornette, yes.
And then the Midnight Express.
Jimmy Hart's still alive.
Good for him. The Midnight Express.
Jimmy Hart, born in?
Monroe.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Close.
Billed from Memphis, Tennessee, however.
Now, this says that the Midnight Express was also managed
by Jim Cornette.
By Jim Cornette. Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. This is fascinating, isn't it?
Bobby Heenan was the other one I was trying to think of a minute ago.
It's amazing how much is on the Midnight Express.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway. Do you remember the Freebirds?
No.
Remember Dr. Death Steve Williams?
No.
The Road Warriors?
Yep.
Who was the manager for the Road Warriors?
I don't know.
They were cool.
Don't really care. Talking to the microphone.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You get on your computer and your head kind of starts moving to the left and moving to the left and moving to the left and moving to the left. And
kind of like my politics, right?
That's very true.
That's what I'm accused of.
I was entertained yesterday, so I was fine with it. It was fine. I laughed.
Oh, I was entertained for
sure. A lot
sure.
of people sent it to me.
Yeah.
It was my phone. Bzz, 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 bzz.
Like, the Johnny Bench stuff.
It was funny.
God.
I don't know why you're frustrated.
Iron Maiden's kid.
His name is John Bench. The father's name is John Bench.
Yeah. I'm sure at some point in his life he went by Johnny.
When he's a kid.
Yeah.
You become John when you get
I
older.
I bet his parents called him Johnny. I bet his mama, when he was out, she'd say, Johnny, you want to come in and have an apple pie? And so he's Johnny Bench.
Less likely to call him Johnny, though, because of Johnny Bench. Do you call him John even when he's younger?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Because of that?
You don't want to. I mean, do you want to be the kid on the Little League named Johnny Bench? When Johnny Bench is the Hall of Fame catcher for the Reds in the middle of his career? Do you really want that pressure? I mean, if your last name was Bryant right now and you had a son, would you name him Chris? If your last name was Harper, would you name him Bryce? No, you wouldn't want your kid to be like, hey, Bryce Harper's on our team. He's playing right field hitting 13th. No. You'd name
playing him, right field in the fifth inning hitting
yeah,
13th.
You'd name him like John or Joseph or something that's not Bryce.
Ron.
Ron. Ron Harper. If your last name was Jordan, would you name your kid Michael? No, it'd be awful.
Well, the actor's parents did. Michael B. Jordan, the dude in Creed.
That's true, and it kind of worked out.
He's got to throw the B in there, though, because it gets confusing.
Your last
about
name
it.
Was Johnson. Russell, your last name is Johnson. Would you name your son Magic? No! No, you wouldn't name him Irvin either. That's just too much pressure.
No, it's like, you know, we mentioned the movie Arthur last week.
Yeah.
It's like he's sitting there. He's like, I'm going to name my son Senator. Give him a head start. It's like, fair enough.
Johnny Bench. Oh, God.
So we'll see what's in it. But, no, I think that there's going to be, yeah, some type of the disassociation. At least the person believes that there's going to be some type of disassociation.
Which just begs the question why you...
Well, unless you're admitting it.
And if you're admitting all this, this is going not going to...
Did they admit that anyway in the first one? I don't remember. No, I get so confused.
They... I can't remember. Did they admit the establishment and the clothing store?
I'm pulling it up. because I don't remember. We need to get that right.
And the Leo thing, they admitted that there was contact, but they left it up in the air as to whether they really believed money had changed hands.
No, allegation 7, it is alleged that a booster provided money, food, and drinks to prospective student athlete B, who enrolled at another institution, really narrowing it down there, guys, and his companions at the booster's restaurant on 2 to 3 unspecified dates between March of 2014 and January 2015. The value of the alleged inducements is between $200 and $600. This allegation is charged as a level 1 violation that we will contest.
So they're contesting
violation
that.
7. Yeah.
That's student athlete B?
That is student athlete B. That is correct. Who enrolled at another institution.
Someone wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey back there. Just in a while I started thinking about Kobe all of a sudden when you mentioned student athlete B. But there's right there on First Take or whatever this is, there's a Kobe Bryant jersey.
It is.
Yep.
That studio, that set looks a little crowded. It is kind of
crowded. They're in some place in Oakland.
Are they?
Lake Chalet or something is behind them.
Is it going 4 or 5 games?
Oh, I'll say 5. It's a gentleman sweep.
Give them one of the 2 home games just for the fun of it.
Yeah, they better get the next one or it's cat's over Friday night.
Oh, you don't think it goes, if they don't win game 3, you don't think it goes 5?
They don't win game 3. Game 4 is a coronation.
You pulling for the hockey to go longer just because?
Yeah.
2-1 pins right now, game 4 in Nashville?
Game 4 tonight, I think.
Is it tonight?
I think so.
Yeah, it's tonight and then Thursday is game 5.
Kevin Durant played center last night. Their team's so good that he played center.
Better?
No, not really. I mean, I've said this so many times, I'll say it one more. He earned free agency. You can do it. It's like how I feel about you'll hear this in my interview with Russell. It's how I feel about transfers. If you graduate and you have the right to transfer and you want to transfer, I think you should be able to transfer. I don't believe it should be limited. I think if you want to transfer from Ole Miss to Mississippi State even, and you graduate, you should have the right to transfer. Coaches can transfer. No one penalizes them. So Kevin Durant earned free agency. Did he mislead the Thunder some? Yeah, probably, but he earned free agency. He wanted to go to the Warriors. That's within his rights. He did. Am I thrilled with it? No, but I'm not bitter. People say bitter. No, not really bitter. I mean, I joke about it, but I'm not really bitter. I mean, they play beautiful basketball. They're unguardable. When they have Thompson and Curry running around on the baseline and Durant's like posted up at the top of the key, it's really not guardable. You're left to pick your poison and hope that that poison...
They miss a shot.
Yeah, you're really, it's like saying, okay, well, there's a cobra, a rattlesnake, and a water moccasin. You're going to get bit. Pick which one. Well, that's a crappy choice.
Maybe the moccasin's going to have a draw bite and we'll be all right.
Yeah, either way, it's going to hurt and there's a chance it's going to kill you.
What would you choose?
Oh, I'd just kill myself right there.
Not really. What would you choose?
The moccasin, I guess.
For some reason, I turned toward rattlesnake and I don't know why.
Really?
I mean, we're not doing the cobra.
No, cobra's out. But you're picking, I mean, and everyone's choice is always the same. Well, we'll take Clay, and then Clay kills them.
Yeah.
And if Clay played on 22 other teams, he's the superstar. Clay Thompson in Utah, for example, he makes Utah a legitimate title contender.
The Cavs scored 113 and lost by 20.
Yeah, LeBron had a triple-double and they lost by 19 points. I mean, it's they're not guardable. When they shoot well, there's no chance.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you get local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason 662-234-2704 or by email jlowe, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He is the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. They're up on the site. at rebelgrove.com. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. He'll send you an email. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by John Fryer and Tuna Chasa Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore, offshore fishing expeditions, knows where to put you on the fish you want to catch. Tuna Chasa Charters is located at 200 East 8th Street, Slip C2 in Biloxi. For more information, check out their Facebook page or call 228-348-7817. Whether you're looking for a quick fishing trip inshore, a serious deep sea fishing excursion, or anything in between, let John and the folks at Tuna Chasa Charters take care of you. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating, owned and operated by the husband and wife duo Kyle and Jordan Thornton. I wonder if they have a wrestling name. They could be like the Midnight Express, Kyle and Jordan. One of them could wear a mask or something. It'd be cool. Both are Ole Miss alum, avid fans. 7 South Tailgating, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove. They can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages. Fans can bring their own gear, or 7 South can provide their gear. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They'll set you up anywhere in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. It's the largest vendor in the Grove, yet they still manage to know each customer personally by name. 7 South typically sells out every game, so visit the site today. Secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them. The site is 7southtailgating.com. The phone number is 662-321-1682.
So, do we actually have a for sure fight between Mayweather and McGregor?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person. What are they saying?
Well, everybody's talking about it. Supposedly McGregor's already training. They asked Mike Tyson about it yesterday.
McGregor can't get in a boxing match and fight with Floyd Mayweather.
I wouldn't think so. I don't know that he would ever touch him.
I mean, if they've cut a deal to make some money and Mayweather's promised just to toy with him, okay, and then if you buy that, it's on you. That's not going to be a real prize fight.
I don't know that Mayweather knocks him out either. He doesn't have tons of knockout power.
No, but he's going to
dance around and jab him to death.
Artistically kill him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's willing to do it, is because he knows he won't get that badly hurt. He'll lose. Probably look foolish at times, but he won't get hurt.
Mike Tyson says Conor McGregor is going to look really ridiculous boxing Floyd, but if he goes in there with the UFC stuff, then that could get kind of interesting.
Meaning take him to the ground?
Yeah, like if it was a UFC fight.
Well, yeah. Then I would say the opposite. I would say Floyd Mayweather can't beat Conor McGregor.
Unless he just stayed away from him for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Literally just danced around the edge of the ring.
Yeah, and had him dive at him and stuff. But if they're boxing...
Well, Mayweather's just going to tire him out.
Yeah, if they're...
It's a whole different sport.
If they're boxing, Tyson's exactly right. Going to look silly.
How often have you said that in the last 15 years? Tyson is exactly right.
When it comes to boxing analysts and stuff, a lot. He's great. I mean, he was a freak show and a nut job, but he's really good at... when we hear him talking about fights and stuff, he's a historian of the sport.
Was it he's fading off into Bolivia? Was it Bolivia instead of Oblivion?
Instead of Oblivion, I'm fading off into Bolivia. Right. Which would be a place to fade. If you say, hey, let's fade off somewhere, I mean, you could say, well, we could fade off into Bolivia. No one would find you. No one would even know where to look.
Yeah.
I wonder what Bolivia is like.
Don't know, don't care.
You don't care?
If you're curious, a little bit of baseball update here from the regionals over the weekend. Texas A&M is 2-0. They are in the regional final against Houston. And because Davidson has knocked off North Carolina, as we talked about, A&M hosts a super regional with a win. So a team that we commented on whether or not they would get into the field last week. In great shape now to advance to the next round in College Station there at Bluebell Park. They play Houston at noon today for the first game of that regional final. Southern Miss and Mississippi State in Hattiesburg at 1 o'clock. State has to beat the Golden Eagles twice to advance, and they are slap out of pitching. So I don't know what the Bulldogs will do there, but they fought through the loser's bracket yesterday, beating UIC in South Alabama. Texas Tech and Sam Houston State in a winner-take-all. Sam Houston State beat Texas Tech last night in the first game of the regional final. The Red Raiders had won the winner's bracket there. Virginia-Dallas Baptist today. The winner gets TCU in the regional final. Vanderbilt and Clemson in a winner-take-all game today as Clemson beat Vanderbilt last night to force an if-necessary game. And maybe this is the shocker of the tournament so far, other than Davidson, Bethune-Cookman last night beats the Florida Gators in Gainesville to create an if-necessary game tonight in Gainesville between BCC and Florida.
Is the same guy Bethune-Cookman that's always been there?
No, he went to Alabama State or Alabama A&M and won the SWAC, and then now he's moved somewhere else, I think, too. Merville Melendez is that guy's name.
I remember him.
Good dude. Funny guy. Good interview.
Can Auburn beat Florida State today?
Really needed to beat Florida State last night.
Yeah, they had their shot last night.
They were
night.
A strike away.
Oh.
No, seriously, strike
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I know.
They were a strike away, and a dude hit a ball off the wall with two outs, two strikes. And then they had bases loaded, two outs again in a tie game, and they hit a guy to send in the winning run.
That's tough.
Bases loaded and plunked him.
The new coach at Alabama will fly to Tuscaloosa today, be introduced, then fly back to Tallahassee.
Is he doing that?
Yeah.
If you're Butch, do you just tell him to stay in Tuscaloosa? What do you do?
Nah, I mean, he's been with you. I want.
Need all your coaches there tonight.
Tonight would be the one night I want everybody there. If we're going to lose, let's lose together.
Merville Melendez is now the head coach at FIU. It's actually a really, really nice spot for him, honestly. He can recruit there. That's good. That's a good area. It's Miami. So, anyway. You mentioned it. Yeah, Auburn, Florida State is tonight in the if necessary game. Texas, Long Beach State tonight in a winner take all game. Kentucky, North Carolina State tonight in a winner take all game. And Missouri State and Arkansas in a winner take all game. A lot of SEC today.
I anticipate, just as a side note, I anticipate some basketball recruiting news today. I don't know the name, but I think you're going to see some finality with Parker Stewart and Parker Stewart's replacement come to pass today.
Do you really?
I do.
Where's Parker Stewart going to end up?
The rumor's like Middle Tennessee or Memphis. Memphis makes some sense. Look, if he didn't want to come to Ole Miss because he was worried about playing time immediately, then this isn't meant as a criticism of the kid either, but probably better off knocking that out now before you go someplace and start your clock. Because that probably wasn't going to end well. And I got a feeling these next year or two, Andy Kennedy's not going to put up with a whole lot of chemistry issues. You're either going to be all in or all out.
I was reading something this morning on Tuscaloosa News. Bohannon, Aaron Suttle was writing that he is inheriting an even more of a scholarship mess than normal.
In what
at
way?
That job. A lot of promised scholarships, a lot of kids they can't get rid of for different reasons, a lot of commits that they've already got either signed or kind of coming anyway, that it's just – it's a rebuilding process where you're probably years from being able to completely get your own people in there. Because, you know, Byrne, that was the whole thing with Goff. You know, Goff was trying to cut all these players, and Byrne said, no, your scholarships are promised. And since they went at him and tried to do it the wrong way where you can't process a kid based on his athletic ability. You have to make up another crap reason to do it.
And you go in and you say, hey, look, we're going to help you look around. You can't just cut the kid and go, you don't hit well enough. See ya.
Yeah, you suck is not a good enough reason in NCAA to cut a kid.
Because you shouldn't have signed him if he sucked. That's on you.
Yeah.
And if he's doing everything academically and all that stuff, then you have to go in and say,
you're not going to play here, son.
You're not going to play. Can we work on finding you another place to play that you would be happy with? Then you got to help the kid. can't abandon the kid.
Yeah, so there's what he has going. So we'll see. It's going to be a while. Bama's going to suck a little while. Hard job. Really hard job.
How many scholarships do they get?
11.7.
That's more than Davidson has.
Bama played for a national title in 1997.
They did.
Played LSU.
I was living there.
Were you?
Yeah.
You didn't go to Rosenblatt for that?
I remember one of the players, his name was Roberto Vaz, V-A-Z.
Why do you remember that?
I don't know. Beats me. Jim Wells was the coach.
He was.
They were rolling.
And then?
When they showed up in Hoover, it was packed.
Then other people started caring.
Yeah.
That's right before the modern era, or this era where everybody really started caring.
Yeah. And now that everyone's engaged in it, it's hard.
Now everybody to some extent cares except for Missouri.
Yeah, they don't give much of a damn.
Well, it's cold. They have no one there. Their entire program gross revenue was $100,000+ last year.
Yeah.
LSU was 5-point-something million.
And they're not spending a whole lot either.
No, but you can't.
Why would you?
How would you spend it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're almost playing the sport just out of obligation because you've been in you've been in conferences that have basically told you to play the sport.
Because the SEC probably would not look fondly on them shutting down the baseball program.
They wouldn't appreciate that very much, no. Was it Vanderbilt doesn't have a softball program?
That's correct.
Yeah. Look at me.
I think the league probably says, eh, whatever. Probably would prefer that they have a softball program.
Make things easier.
Yeah.
Symmetry and whatnot. But whatnot. Podcast brought to you in part Mastercuts Lawn and Landscape. Mastercuts, full service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. No job too large or small for Mastercuts. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation installation, maintenance, and turf. They even do holiday lighting during the holiday season. So give them a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And as I had somebody take advantage of this a couple days ago, you sign an annual contract, you mentioned the podcast, they pay for the first cut. First cut is on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, preventative maintenance contracts as well. Visit their website, ComerHeatingAndAir.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan, the place to go. They've got great deals on new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. You can lease a brand new Nissan vehicle for 1990s prices. So if you're not putting a ton of miles on a car, it's something you ought to look into. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. OUB also has the best free checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. It comes complete with cash back or interest options. If you have a Kasasa account, OUB will refund your ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Now let's talk some recruiting. Russell Johnson on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Russell, welcome into the podcast. Welcome into the Clark Ford Studios for the first time. I know you have to take a look around, let it all sort of sink in, the elegance, the poshness, the sort of designed to intimidate. I can tell by looking at you that you are sufficiently intimidated.
Yes, just a little bit.
Yep. Okay, let's talk recruiting. You came down to Oxford. It's taping this on Monday morning. You've really been on the campus since Friday. Did the weekend go in general as they had hoped?
A lot of players who were originally registered to come on Friday on the invite-only camp didn't show up. But the list of people who actually did come was definitely better on Sunday than it could have ever been expected.
Give me some examples.
Let's see. Cordova brought three people. Cordova's in the Memphis area. They brought Jerome Carvin, who couldn't work out. He has a high ankle sprain. He was in a boot. So he was just around with Coach Luke all day. Jeremy Banks, the running back from out there. He's a three-star with a Virginia Tech offer, who actually is from Mississippi, and Southern Miss currently leads for him because he wants to come back to Mississippi. And lastly, Jacoby Hewitt, who also plays for Cordova, and he's a receiver. He ran about a 4.5 yesterday, and he was pretty impressive. Peeler took him aside and talked to him for a little bit as well.
I'm going to ask it. People can get mad at me because it's the most fascinating part of this because I've got a number. I'm going to ask some NCAA questions because you were around it. I'm sure that topic came up when you talked to coaches. I'm sure it came up when you talked to kids. So for the people out there that don't want to hear NCAA-related stuff, you might want to start hitting the fast-forward button because, to me, avoiding it is silly. It's completely ignoring one of the main storylines. It's a new staff to a degree. Some new faces, some fresh blood, some coaches that weren't around a year ago when the recruiting really fell off because of the NCAA. Again, we're taping this on Monday. Our expectation is that sometime in the next 24 to 72 hours, Ole Miss is going to release its NCAA, its response to the NCAA's NOA. How much, when you talk to kids, does the unknown of what's coming, how much does that come up? How much does that, do you sense, factor into decisions? How much has that impacted the 2018 class to date?
It is factored in heavily. The in-state recruits are, I wouldn't say scared, they're just really skeptical. I know that Jalen Reed had some hesitation with Ole Miss because of everything going on. Malik Heath, when he first committed to Mississippi State, the NCAA was kind of reaching its peak in terms of the investigation. There's several other, you know, in-state kids who are pretty concerned about it, and a lot of the coaches are just ready for it to be over with. And when it comes to the out-of-state recruits, what it really is they're not more willing to take the trip out here amidst the uncertainty, amidst everything going on. They're not willing to, you know, come to Oxford and work hard for an offer, because if that hammer does go down like it's expected to, what's the point of an Ole Miss offer?
So when you say the hammer, I mean, some of this isn't fair to you, but like with kids, I'm asking you to sort of guess a little. Mm-hmm. Let's say that there's no additional bowl ban year. Because if there's not, these kids aren't impacted by bowl bans.
Yeah.
Because these kids aren't playing in a bowl this year.
Right.
Whether they go to Alabama or anywhere else, they're not playing. They're playing high school football.
Exactly.
So if there's not an additional year of added to the bowl ban.
Yes.
Postseason bans will not impact their careers.
Not at all.
Do you sense that that's what they're waiting to see? Is it do they just want certainty?
I think the certainty of knowing exactly what the penalty is crucial, but I also think that avoiding the 2-year bowl ban is crucial. If they're able to avoid the 2-year bowl ban, they could lock up 7 of the top 10 in the state. It would be very likely that happens. But if they do get the 2-year bowl ban, they'll be lucky to get 2 or 3 of them, and the rest will end up at the Tennessees, the Florida States, the Alabamas of the world.
It was funny. I wrote this in 10 Thoughts last night. I was talking to a friend of mine in the media. He's not in the national media. He covers a professional sport in a different part of the country. He doesn't keep up with college football. He you know how it is when you are a professional, when you cover a professional beat, you just rarely have time to keep up with anything else. And he's got kids and the whole deal. We were catching up on life, and I'm going to Chicago later this week, and we were talking about how I was like, man, what are the odds, right? I mean, what are the odds that the damn thing's going to come down right about the same time that I'm on an airplane? I mean, what were the chances? Literally, I mean, it was like kind of a lottery. We were laughing about it. He goes, well, how bad's it going to be? I'm like, I don't know. He goes, like, they're going to get like 3 years, right? I'm like, 3 years of what? He goes, 3 years of bull ban. I'm like, no. But we're having that conversation, and I say all that to get to this question. When these kids talk to other coaching staffs, other programs, I know it comes up. What are they hearing on the recruiting trail about what's going to happen to Ole Miss?
Schools were actually telling Blaine Scott that he may never play in a bowl game his entire time at Ole Miss. So the
because he would be ineligible to, or because they wouldn't win?
Number one, because of the bowl ban, and number two, then because they wouldn't win because of the scholarship reductions. That's actually become a pretty big trend. The schools have been capitalizing on this, as you know, Coach Freeze has mentioned in the past that negative recruiting is going on everywhere. Every school who Ole Miss is in competition with for any recruit will be talking about Ole Miss, will be talking about the NCAA, will be talking about the uncertainty until it comes out, the penalties, the everything.
Yeah.
That's the only time that they won't be able to do that anymore, because right now they could say that they're going to have a 5-year bowl ban and kids are going to believe them. I know that up in Ohio, the uncertainty of everything going on, when Blaine Scott committed to Ole Miss, everybody was shocked. They were confused as to how an Ohio kid was going to go play in the SEC, let alone play for a school with these harsh NCAA penalties. They're still trying to get over everything that happened at Ohio State several years ago with Jim Tressel and everything, but they're just so confused as to how that could have happened.
There's a decent chance they're going to lose some scholarships. They're going to have to be really careful this year. Do you sense that that's impacting how eager they are to make, they being Ole Miss, to make offers or to take commitments? Are they being a little more selective right now than maybe they would normally be? Or do you think it's business as usual?
I actually think it might be the complete opposite. Right now, they have 5 commitments. They have 4 3-stars on our site and 1 4-star being DeMarcus Gregory. And they have nearly 300 scholarship offers out for the class of 2018. Now, we could argue until I'm blue in the face about how many of those are committable offers. But at this point right now, I'm saying about 100 to 150 of them could call today and commit to Ole Miss and to the program.
So you think they'd fill up their class today if they could?
Yes, 100%, because that way that's not one less thing for them to worry about, but they have some momentum. They have people following the recruiting trail. They have momentum going into the decision so that they don't lose all of the – because not everyone's going to decommit when everything comes out.
Well, no, and the longer you're committed to a place, the more you're emotionally invested to it as, yes, a kid and stuff like that. You put the sticker on your car. You start wearing the T-shirts, the sweatshirts, the hats. It's harder at that point to go, well, you know what, it's bad, I'm going to go someplace else, as opposed to if you're just thinking about them, but you're not committed, you're certainly not tipping your hand, right, all that stuff, and then all of a sudden it's bad. It's easier to just mark them off the list.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into some specific positions that I'm curious about. It goes without saying that they didn't get Cam Akers last year. We can argue why, NCAA, whatever. At some point, they have to get a running back.
Yes, I think if they get the 1-year bowl ban, they could sign the top 2 in the state, Jarvion Howard and Fabian Franklin.
Now, Howard was here this weekend, is that right?
Yes.
And he was one of the guys that really impressed?
Yes, he got the offer he's been waiting for. That's been his offer he has wanted since this recruiting process started. Mississippi State was the leader going into the weekend, and he camped on Friday at the 10 o'clock, or not the 10 o'clock session, the early session. And when he was there, I mean, he blew everybody away with everything. And he got the offer, and he was still planning on going to Starkville on Saturday. But after receiving the offer from Ole Miss, things kind of fell apart, as they tend to do in the state of Mississippi. And he did not visit Mississippi State. I would expect a commitment from Howard, I would say, with before the season starts.
Regardless of NCAA stuff?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of a player is he? Because, I mean, again, it's a program that, for whatever reason, we'll get to the other position in a minute, but for whatever reason, Hugh Freeze and his tenure at Ole Miss has been able to recruit at a high level at quarterback, at wide receiver, at offensive line, landed tight ends. They've done really well with defensive linemen, and they've done pretty well with defensive backs. They have struggled at running back, and they have struggled at linebacker, and it shows on the roster. And I think they would even begrudgingly admit that. They probably would argue, and we would get into a battle and semantics and stuff. But the truth is, in a league where you need running backs to win, they've had a hard time getting them. And in a league where you need linebackers to win, they've had a hard time getting them. We could argue that forever.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I think deep down they would agree 100%.
Yes.
They just wouldn't want to give in to that argument too much. What kind of a running back is he? What you saw him,
yes,
in terms of his ability to impact immediately, what's your guess?
I mean, he would be able to fight for carries from the moment he gets on campus. Howard is a powerful back, but something that really has changed since last season is he seems to be a lot more – not just quick, agile. He's able to move from side to side. He's definitely got some new moves in his arsenal that you don't see on his highlight tape. You see the growth. You see the development. You can tell he's been in the weight room. He's got a good program going on down there at East Marion.
Sir, any chance they sign two backs in this class?
Yes.
Who might the second one be?
You've got Fabian Franklin from Hattiesburg. You've got
Tony he's a completely Julian. Different kind of back, right?
Yes. Yeah, he would be the quick guy, the speed, you would be able to put them as a one and two. You'd be able to put them up as a duo. They could come in and they would be the number one and two guys starting right away. They could.
Okay, linebacker. They had some success in this past class, linebacker, Josh Clark, Muhammad Sanogo.
Yes.
They can't stop there. They know that. I would guess, and you tell me if I'm wrong, because you've covered it and done a great job of it, it's got to still be a priority position for them, right?
It's completely a priority. Priority number one, basically. They offered Jonathan Hess from Alabama over the weekend. He camped. He was impressive. He was
See the kid physical. From Vestavia?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He was physical. They had him working out at safety, and you could tell he was a linebacker. He was just overpowering at the line of scrimmage. He was good. He was very good. I almost expect him to commit pretty quick as well. He may actually have been one of the two commitments Hugh Freeze tweeted about last night.
I was going to ask you about that in a minute. We'll get to that in a second, though. Stay on linebacker. How many in this class, and I know this is a hard question to answer because we don't know what the scholarship limitations might or might not be, how many linebackers would they like to add in this class?
I'd say at least three, and if all goes well, they could probably get four. Get some outside guys, get some inside guys. You would definitely put Hess on the inside. A guy like Chad Bailey from Texas, 4-star, actually headed to the 5-star challenge in Indy this weekend. He is definitely somebody to look for on the outside. He's one of their top targets.
What about the quarterback position? I know that they talk about wanting to add one every year. Obviously, if Shea Patterson is as good as a lot of people think Shea Patterson will be, that it's certainly possible that he only has 2 years left in the program.
Yes.
Who are some quarterbacks that are on the radar right now?
Right now you got Gary Bohannon. He'll be heading back to Arkansas from the Elite 11. He was pretty impressive this weekend. Other than that, the quarterback position is really, for lack of better words, a crapshoot. You've got him. You've got Joey Gatewood, who's currently committed to Auburn, who, if Auburn begins to pursue another quarterback, may kind of back off of his commitment. And you also had a Swift Lyle from Alabama who will be coming out to visit, I would say, in the next week or two, just to throw. He doesn't have an offer yet. And then you also have, from the Memphis area, Trey Lowe, who is racking up the offers. He has one from, you know, West Virginia, among others. And he actually impressed Longo yesterday when he was throwing, but he wasn't ready to offer yet because the coaches are a little weary that when you offer these quarterbacks like to commit on the spot. Quarterbacks like to hold spots. Quarterbacks commit earlier now than ever before. So getting a quarterback in this class is definitely a priority, but they don't want to offer somebody before they need to.
Defensive line, it's a defensive lineman league. It always has been. It always will be. They're okay there, but you have to keep adding depth because you can go from okay to not okay fast. it's hard to evaluate those guys in camp settings because they're not wearing pads. Anybody emerge this weekend at all?
There are two from Callaway, James Williams, a DN, and Kobe Love, a D tackle. There was Jeffrey Johnson was there from Brookhaven, but he didn't work out, but he was there. He big guy, physical guy. I actually think he ends up in this class as well without any NCAA answers.
The recruiting calendar, there's a lot of talk about it speeding up. The coaches complained about it all last weekend, Destin.
All week.
How's the early signing period going to impact recruiting, in your opinion? And then specifically, and again, it's kind of almost impossible to know right now because we don't know answers to a couple of big things. How do you anticipate that it might impact Ole Miss this year?
This year, I know that quite a few, I believe three or four out of the five commitments they do have, currently do plan on signing and enrolling early. The thing that I don't think that the recruits understand yet is that they can sign early and enroll in the summer, which is something that I think will have to be explained to them a little later as we go on through the process. You know, whenever you get a quarterback commit, you want them to enroll early. So I do believe that they do sign a quarterback in this class, and I do believe that he commits before the start of his senior year.
I think more and more kids are going to sign early, enroll early. The other thing it lets them do is it lets them get 15 to 18 semester hours out of the way and get ahead where in the event that their initial school is not a perfect fit or that after 3 years you can graduate and get out with 2 years of eligibility left to go transfer somewhere. I think the football transfer market is about to explode. That's my opinion. I think it's going to become a major trend where kids get out in 3 years and have the option to go somewhere else. You agree or you think I'm nuts?
With the graduate transfer
yourself? Yes.
Yes, I do think that. Kind of interesting to see the way the SEC just switched the rule up for Malik Zaire to transfer into Florida. Really interested to see, you know, how that kind of develops the Florida program. It seems like the head coach out there doesn't really have the ability to develop his own quarterback. He's got graduate transfers coming in and starting right away. I do believe that you may have a point when it comes to, you know, getting the 3 years out of the way, and especially if they can transfer within the SEC, that could be huge.
All right, so you talked about the two commitments. We got the tweet about lots of Yahtzee and stuff. I'm going to assume that was Hugh Freeze's typical way of announcing they had commitments. Is the guess here that they're waiting to – because this is my – when I first saw it, I thought, oh. So they expect this NCAA thing to come down Tuesday-ish, Wednesday-ish. They're going to have something to
– soften the blow?
Well, just to change the news cycle in certain outlets and stuff. So
yes, I would say
I don't mean that to be critical. It's actually fairly smart.
Yeah, I would say that these two commitments that they're going to be ones that have been not on the radar for a while, but ones that have kind of been close, and they just picked this time to do it. I think that it's a great strategy because you may not see the NOA response on the front page of some websites. You will see the commitments. One is scheduled to commit today, and the other will announce on Wednesday. So you may have a point. I actually didn't even think about that until you just mentioned it.
I know you know who one of the guys is.
Yes.
Do you know who the other guy is?
Not yet. I do believe it is a defender. That is what I can tell you. I just am not 100% sure as to who it is. That would make both commitments defenders, and they actually both could be from the same state.
So where they go the rest of the summer, I know that this particular weekend's kind of over. Now kids sort of straggle in a little bit.
Yes.
And then they have some sort of a senior day in July. Is that right?
Yes, they do have a big one in July where it'll kind of be like what it was Friday. I'm sure they're hoping for a better turnout. They'll get some, you know, some 4 stars from in-state, some 4 stars from out-of-state. They want to get some people on campus. They want to get the chance to, you know, show them the facilities, show them everybody, and to meet the new coaches.
I know you weren't around last year. There were times that you could feel the energy had fallen off. What was the mood of the coaching staff? What was the energy level?
There weren't many smiles. There were smiles when they were talking to recruits, but, you know, other than that, there really wasn't that – I'm pumped up to be here. You know, this is a great time. You could tell there's something going on in the next, I'd say, week or so. Like you had mentioned in the past, in the next 24 to 72 hours. That mood is definitely there. The new staff seems to have really energized recruiting. They're sending out offers left and right. I know McGriff is out in Florida recruiting his butt off.
So your first time in Oxford, what were your impressions?
Oxford is a beautiful place. It's got the small town feel, but it has so many different things to do, so many places to eat, beautiful women. It just can't get enough. I mean, I'm kind of sad I'm leaving today, to be honest with you.
Well, we'll get you back. We'll get you back to Oxford here soon. All right. Well, Russell, appreciate the update. Appreciate all the work this weekend. You can catch all of Russell's updates throughout the weekend. There'll be more throughout the day at rebelgrove.com. Thanks, bud.
Of course. I'm glad to be here.
Talk to you soon.
Our thanks to Russell for joining us on the podcast. He joined us via the Rebel Locker Room hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, it's the place to go for all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear. All the colors, all the styles, everything you're looking for right there at the Rebel Locker Room. You'll need all that gear for football season. It's not that far away. You can still get Ole Miss football season tickets at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in the state. Go to his site. It's gotland.com. That's got-land.com. The land market's very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now is the time. Give Michael a call. He's ready to meet with you. Explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. Here's how you can get in touch with him. Call his cell, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
It may not interest you because you don't play or anything, but I was looking at stumbled across a Golf Digest video thing this morning, and Justin Thomas, the top 10 player in the world, went to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Won three times so far this year. They were having him test his swing speed and distance on all these with these different things: baseball bats, kids' bats, hitting golf balls, tennis rackets, different stuff. Some of it was kind of interesting, but the most interesting thing to me, they gave him a miniature golf putter that you'd have for putt.
Okay.
Teed up a ball and hit it with the miniature golf putter. Hit the ball 253 yards.
No.
I saw video.
I don't believe you.
253 with a miniature golf putter.
That's unbelievable.
It came off his club, and he goes, "I crushed it." And he
surprised it didn't crush the club.
He did. It was teed up and caught it on the upswing, and 253.
Is there a professional putt league?
Actually, I think there is. I've seen something on like ESPN2 in the middle of the night at some point where there's some sort of competition for miniature golf for money. Yes.
I love miniature golf.
Are you any good?
I'm pretty good. I'm fearless. You put me in the volcano, no fear.
The U.S. Pro Mini Golf Association.
Who's like the star of U.S. Pro Mini Golf?
All right, there's a golf.com story. Inside America's most prestigious miniature golf tournament.
Oh, hell yes.
Let's see. I'm looking for any type of prize money, names, anything like that.
This is like professional dodgeball.
Showing me around Hawaiian Rumble, the Augusta National of miniature golf.
The Hawaiian Rumble.
Yeah. You're playing the ball off bricks on three quarters of the holes, he was saying, but he's interrupted by a passing mini golf pro, discomfited by the luau ambience. Can you tell them to put on the Jimmy Buffett music, he asked. That's what I'm used to. So, yeah, a tradition unlike any other. cover the $12,000 U.S. Pro Mini Golf Association Masters. Was in a Myrtle Beach.
So it's been scenic Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, I'm looking. He goes, it's no joke. There's a guy that was a PGA Tour golfer, a scratch golfer, who played in the U.S. Mid-Am, was competing. He says, it's not a joke. I'm a pretty good putter, and they just kick my ass. I don't know how Kevin Na would do out here, but I don't think he'd win, talking about a player on the PGA Tour. Jordan Spieth himself might have a hard time against two-time Masters champ Olivia Prokopova, a pigtail 20-year-old from the Czech Republic, who has been putting competitively since she was five, or 2005 and 2006 champ Hans Olofsson, a cross-handed putting Swede with a stroke so languid the shaft passes his belt buckle with a follow-through, or broomstick-wielding Matt Mell, a 31-year-old pro from Columbus, Ohio, who smiled when a fan shouted, "Way to go, Keegan," after one of his many aces. So, you all right?
Yeah. You ever play putt-putt?
I'm bad at it.
Really?
Yeah, really bad.
Why are you bad at that and you're barely decent at golf?
I don't know. I mean, you had to put on a golf course, but... partly because, I mean, God, only a golfer will actually kind of nod at this. I'm using this stupid little putter thing that I'm not used to. Like, yeah. So you're not going to be as good as you would be on a normal thing. Like, I mean.
Doesn't bother me any.
Well, you don't play the other one.
I take my little plastic putter and I'm off to the races.
I'll show you the video of Justin Thomas when we get done.
Okay.
Hit a ball. Yeah, 253.
That's amazing. That's some serious club speed.
Maybe that's the next step. You know, you got Jamie Sadlowski, the long drive champion that's trying to actually be a golfer now and not just hit the ball 450 yards. Maybe that's the next thing is a pro mini golf putter tries to become a PGA Tour golfer because he can just eat up the greens. Maybe that's next.
Maybe so.
All right, close here. What'd you think of Malik Zier, Florida?
I was glad that they let him transfer. That they let him in.
Quick clarification on that.
Okay.
The SEC was changing that rule anyway. That had been agreed about at the meetings, which is why this was even a topic. It wasn't – I saw it phrased this way some. It wasn't that Florida wanted him, so the SEC went into some special committee and then changed a rule.
It was already on the docket.
Yeah. It was going to get passed whether he wanted to go to Florida or not.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked the change. I saw where Nick Saban says he's not for free agency. I don't really have a problem with free agency if you graduate. If you graduate, that means that you showed up.
You fulfilled a semblance of the contract.
You did. You had to get 120 some odd semester hours or quarter hours or whatnot.
Yeah.
You were there for, it takes at least 3 years. You didn't get processed. It meant that you followed at least the majority of the rules.
You're right.
And so if you want to leave and transfer to another place, I don't think conference affiliation should stop you. Because here's the thing. There's three kinds of college players, right? There's the great ones who after 3 years, they're not looking to transfer to another school probably. They're looking to go pro. Mm-hmm. Then you have the guys who come to school and they're not quite good enough. Yet they do everything they're asked to do. They're parts of the team. And so maybe those guys at the end of 3 years go, you know what? I want to go play somewhere. I don't want to be a third string defensive lineman. I want to go play. I can go down a level and play. We never have a problem with that. What about the guy that just goes, you know what, I need to change the scenery. Nothing against school X. They want me at school Y. I'm going to give it a shot. I've earned my degree. I've been a good citizen. Now people are going to say, well, then you're going to have a lot of recruiting. Newsflash, they're recruiting now. That doesn't really stop. I guarantee you there are schools all over the country recruiting SEC kids right now. Hey, man, you know, your second string linebacker at Tennessee, you'd be the first string linebacker out here at Utah. That happens. They don't call the kid. They call the kid's mom. They all recruit each other. Everybody's recruiting them since they're in the eighth freaking grade. Everybody knows everybody. I mean, people go, well, recruiting, it never really stops anyway. So that's where I'm in the keep it real camp. So if a kid's at Alabama, for example, and he's been there 3 years and he graduates and he's done everything right and he's not playing and he could go to South Carolina and be the starting quarterback, why not?
No, you're right. I'm full agreement. The recruiting thing sounds good around a boardroom, but has no practicality whatsoever.
Exactly.
Makes no sense.
And if at the risk of sounding like the big jerk who's anti-college coach, and I'm not. I'm fairly much a capitalist. No one ever says, "Hey, you can't." Let's say Nick Saban retired today, just for fun. Nick Saban goes, you know what? This hockey thing's awesome. I'm going to become a season ticket holder. I'm done. And Jim McElwain gets offered the Alabama job. I realize we're talking in a hypothetical that's not happening. I'm doing that intentionally. Should Jim McElwain be told, that's inside the league. You got to sit out a year. No, he gets to go. So players should go.
Yeah, fair enough. What's your average putt score?
Oh man, I can get in the mid-30s,
okay,
or lower.
Last paragraph of the story I'm reading here. Should we get this guy on the podcast?
I'd love to.
You mean to reach out to this dude?
Yes.
Okay. The winner of $4,000 and the Green Windbreaker.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm obliged to report was Matt Mail, the aforementioned practitioner of anchored putting. Mel, who handles client correspondence for J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, shot 72 under par for 12 rounds, a 29.92 strokes per round, the first sub-30 average in tournament history. Mel, who employs the long putter because of a dodgy back, looked relieved to have survived a final round charge by McCaslin, who finished one stroke behind. Yesterday is what won it for me, the champion said. I was able to be clean, no threes, no bogeys. I answered the bell every time. So did Brian Katrick, who, despite getting beat by the pros, was the low amateur by 60 strokes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you roll
29.92 average.
You roll a 29 on putt-putt. You walk off that course thinking, I am the man.
And I have a hunch that was probably a little more complicated than the things we see in Gatlinburg, but just saying.
Listen, the Pirate course in Orange Beach is challenging. If you don't focus and get yourself locked in, that ball can get away from you. All of a sudden, you're putting a 4, a 5.
Is it a ball striker's course? More about accuracy than distance?
It is.
It's power not really helps you?
No, it's about accuracy. It's about getting locked in and being precise. And then you get in the volcano, and you've been out in the sun, and all of a sudden, you're in the darkness.
Changes things.
And then you got to go back out into the sun. Got to stay locked in. You've got to make sure you have your sunglasses game on par.
Are you kind of like at the middle of the cup guy, or are you trying to lag putt it down and just erase the big numbers? What's the strategy?
I can't give away all my secrets.
Okay.
I'll say that sometimes you can think it's easy and not read the green right, and you just go up and putt the thing, and all of a sudden it's rolling around in the bowl down there.
And you're done.
And you're done because you can't get it back in, and all of a sudden you rolled a 6, and you're done. It's over.
Killed the whole round,
and the rest of your day when you go back to the beach.
You'll have to buy the yogurt.
Buy the yogurt, and when you go to the beach, you can't really enjoy the sand and the suds because you're thinking, if I'd just taken an extra second there.
Saw those slope.
And just calm down. Maybe if I'd, instead of worn flip-flops, put on a pair of comfortable tennis shoes, this would have been a better day at the putt-putt course.
It would be a great gag to film a guy that, like, brought his Scotty Cameron to the putt-putt thing, wouldn't it? I mean, like, brings the caddy to help him read the greens on everyone with his $400 putter.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
Just holds it for him while we're walking to the next hole.
When you play putt-putt, is there a color ball that you prefer?
I typically grab the blue one. I don't know why. Just do.
I will grab
blue or green.
I will grab the pink one because I think the yin and yang of that balances out, and I find an internal balance.
Do you?
I'm totally serious. I do really well with the pink ball.
It's like Bubba Watson hits those Volvic balls now. He's like the only one that hits them, and it's like he hit into a bunker over the weekend, and he's like going down to make sure it's his ball. It's like, Bubba, you're the only dude that hits those balls. I promise, it's your ball. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Tuna Chase the Charters wants us to come down and go for a fishing expedition.
Sure.
So we might mix in a little putt-putt.
A little putt-putt, too?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We can do that. So, all right. Thanks, Russell, for recruiting. We will talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully, we're closer to this response to get it out of the way, read it, and move on from there. See what's next, as this thing does appear to be reaching a conclusion sometime soon. So, anyway, for Neil, for Russell, Chase, talk to you tomorrow.